Right now, though, Anthony Reich is on the line. Anthony, fantastic to be chatting to you again. It's been way too long. Shalom lecha.
Shalom, shalom, Mordim Lisincha. Of course, we're still in the middle of Sukkot, and there's a kind of a mix of an atmosphere because this day during Sukkot is usually the day where crowds of people gather at the Kotel for the priestly blessing, which is conducted with tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands, usually in attendance. But of course, the day very much belongs to the news this morning that we received that an agreement has been reached to allow our hostages to finally come home. And I think that that is really the overriding sentiment governing everything that goes on today. Nobody that I've spoken to today has been able to say anything without first mentioning about how we feel, levels of anticipation that we feel with the pending return home of the hostage. I understand that the hostages are due to be returned home, at least the live hostages, on Monday. That is currently the plan. We understand that the Israeli cabinet is due to meet in an hour or so to agree the deal that has been reached with Hamas and, of course, has been brokered by Qatar, by Egypt, by Turkey, who've also been involved in the talks at Sharm el-Sheikh. And of course, we can't forget the Americans who came up with the plan. They put the outline together. Both Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner arrived in Sharm el-Sheikh yesterday in order to put the plan finally to bed. So the Americans are very much instrumental. And there are just so many talking points around this. I heard you talking about Matanga Angrist, and you will talk about the other 19 hostages who we hope to see home. And their names, their faces are so familiar to us. Their stories, their families have been so visible and so vocal and have traveled around the world to campaign for their release. And of course, Hostage Square now in Tel Aviv has been refocused today with some celebration, some dancing, some tears being shed, even a little rainfall from above, which we haven't had for months and months and months and months. Some people talk about Gishmei Bracha, the rains of the that bring blessings. And so we certainly hope that they will bring blessings. But right now, our minds are all very much focused on Monday when we hope to see the return of the hostages. Just in terms of the rest of the timetable, as I said, the Israeli cabinet is due to agree the deal that has been agreed with Hamas in the next hour or so. We understand that that will mean that by tomorrow, the IDF will be able to pull back to the initial boundary that was drawn up by the Americans. So the IDF will pull back its forces from certain areas of the Gaza Strip, but not from all of the Gaza Strip. So it's interesting that the IDF will still remain in much of the north of the Gaza Strip, but that the most western side, the seaside, the part of the strip that borders on the coast, part of that will be the IDF will withdraw from there. They are not allowing Gazans to move around, to move to the north or the south. Some have even tried to do so. There have been stories today of the IDF being active to make sure that people understand that they're not being allowed to move around freely within the Gaza Strip. This is just an initial pullback. Then that will remain in place. We understand that President Trump will arrive in Israel on Saturday evening, and that Sunday he will be here and potentially addressing the Knesset on Sunday, but that by Monday we will already see the return of our hostages. And of course, hospitals around Israel have geared themselves up to receive the hostages. There is also a camp that's been set up and a military base near the Gaza Strip, Camp Re'im, to receive the hostages. Personal belongings have been taken there by members of their family and by the IDF troops who will be waiting for them. to welcome them back home, all kinds of hygiene and clothes and equipment that will be needed, and of course medical facilities all being set up at Camp Raim, all ready to roll so that our hostages will get the best possible welcome. And of course, it's not lost on us that Monday is also the day before Simchat Torah, when all of this drama began 2 years ago in the Hebrew calendar. Tuesday will be Simchat Torah. So it will be 2 years exactly almost to the day that they were kidnapped. And you mentioned Matan Angrist was a soldier in a tank unit. The people who are currently being held in Gaza are a mixture of three groups. Some of them are soldiers. Some of them are people who were at the Nova Festival, the music festival, and others were residents and members of the kibbutzim that border along the Gaza Strip, and people were kidnapped from their homes on those kibbutzim. So that is really the feeling that we have at the moment. The anticipation, the excitement, cautious anticipation.
Have I lost
you? A little nervous, get too excited.
So, yes, I mean, there is such positivity, and one can only hope with every fiber of your being that this is going to play out the way we want it to. But one has to remember who we're dealing with here. We're dealing with Hamas, who up until this moment has proved themselves to be a dishonest broker. And worse, there are other parties such as Islamic Jihad and the likes, over which I'm not so sure even Hamas has control. Is this deal going to happen, or is it going to be sabotaged?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. I have the impression that having got this far, that it would be extremely difficult for Hamas to blow it up at this stage. I think that if they were going to blow it up, they would have done so in the past few days. And in fact, there was one moment when I received some reports coming out of Sharm el-Sheikh where I had the impression that they were going to blow it up and were indeed doing so.
Yeah.
But it seems as if that's gone ahead. And I think that one of the discussion points that we will have in the coming days and weeks is what has been done behind the scenes in order to convince Hamas to come to this agreement. I still have the view that they have no real incentive to agree this, and particularly no real incentive to see all of our hostages released right on day one of the implementation of the deal.
That's it, Anthony. There were so many Israeli experts who for the last 2 years have been saying this would never happen. It couldn't happen because this is the only leverage that Hamas had.
Right. So for me, it means, and by the way, I've been one of those who've been saying for quite a long time, and listeners in the morning will know that I've said it on more than one occasion, that I feel that there's no incentive for Hamas to release our hostages. So now my question arises as to what has been either promised to them or what has been threatened to them to cause them to come to this decision. I don't think they've just woken up in the morning and changed their minds and said, oh, yes, I think now we're going to play nice guy and we're going to release the hostages. I don't think that that's the case at all. I think that something significant has happened behind the scenes, whether it's been a threat of cutting off money, whether it's the threat of Qatar expelling the leaders from Doha, whether it's been the Americans threatening them or giving them some sort of an incentive. Something has happened behind the scenes which has led to this moment. It doesn't come for free, and it doesn't just come automatically. So I wonder to myself, and I'm certainly going to be very interested to find out what it was, what has happened to suddenly incentivize them to reach this moment. By the way, when it comes to the second phase of the deal and we begin talking about disarming Hamas and removing them from power in Gaza, which has all been laid down as part of the American plan, I think that we're going to really come up against some very, very difficult moments. I don't think that that's all going to progress particularly smoothly, because we do know that Hamas are doing whatever they can to hang on to power and to hang on to their arms in Gaza. But that has all been laid down in the American plan, which says no arms and no Hamas in Gaza in the future. So it's interesting for me to see how the second phase is going to pan out and to learn exactly what has been said to Hamas, which has made them agree now, suddenly and very unexpectedly, from my perspective, to allow our hostages to go free all at once in one group on Monday.
You know, it's interesting. Ahmed Segal of Channel 13 wrote an article last week where he was talking about the strike on Doha as being the most spectacularly successful, unsuccessful strike in history, because he's of the opinion that that showed the vulnerability of the Qataris and hence the pressure on Hamas. Do you think he's got a point?
I think he does have a point, but I think that what's happened in the aftermath of the unsuccessful strike in Doha, by the way, there are people who have turned around and said what happened in Doha was exactly what the Israelis wanted to happen. In other words, it
Interesting.
all played out exactly according to plan. I'm not sure that I agree entirely with that. But what has happened since then is, of course, that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been made to eat humble pie by offering this unequivocal apology to the Qataris about killing a Qatari person and about striking against Hamas in the sovereign territory of Qatar. The Americans have come out saying that any strike on Qatar is the equivalent of a strike on the US, and therefore Israel clearly would not be able to carry out a further strike on Qatar. I wonder whether I had thought that that might precipitate the Americans putting pressure on the Qataris to expel Hamas from Qatar completely and sending them somewhere else, which could potentially then make them vulnerable to a strike by Israel. But where exactly they would go would also wasn't exactly clear. It would have to probably be Iraq or Iran. But anyway, it doesn't seem like that's going to play out, at least in the near future. I still think there is a lot of information about what's been happening behind the scenes that we don't know about. That's going to be very fascinating to read about, and also fascinating to understand how it has been that suddenly Hamas has been given the incentive, given the motivation to come to this agreement. And of course, then questions will be asked about why it wasn't done a year or 2 years ago. So that, inevitably will follow. There will be a lot of speculation. There will be a lot of criticism. There will be a lot of investigation to understand exactly what happens. But at least for now, we're parking all of those discussions, and we are just waiting for the moment on Monday when the hostages will be returned home. All the rest, all the speculation, all the
We'll wait.
investigation, and the interest will have to wait for another day until we can get there and we can get over this moment. I can tell you that as a country at the moment, everybody's on the verge of tears. We are all feeling emotional wrecks as a result of the events of the past day or so, and we're just
Unimaginable.
waiting to get past Monday with safely and soundly. And let's not forget the bodies of those who have
Exactly.
unfortunately been killed. We want them home as well, and we want to be able to bury those who have been killed, and we want to get past all of this. We would like to see the end of the war, and we would like our soldiers to come home safely, return back to their families, back to their jobs, back to what we know that they should rather be doing than fighting in Gaza. And we as a nation want to return back to our daily routine. I said this morning to Howard that Israel will never be the same again, and that is certainly the case. But it would be nice to get back to worrying about things which are not related to this war.
I can completely and utterly understand that. I was going to leave it there, Anthony, but I've had a question from Marcel to you saying, what does Anthony think about Hamas arming themselves in Judea and Samaria? The deal talks about Gaza only. Is there anything that deals with this issue? I'm not sure that there is, but what's your take?
I don't have details of whether the deal specifically talks only about Gaza or whether Judea and Samaria are part of the deal, but I think we can assume safely that if Hamas in Gaza is effectively disarmed and they are removed from the scene, their ability to build any significant force in Judea and Samaria will be limited. I don't say it will be zero, but it'll certainly be limited. And in Judea and Samaria, they've got different challenges with the Palestinian Authority and Fatah really trying to maintain control. And let's not forget, and maybe Marcel's not aware of it, but the Israeli army has been very much involved in Judea and Samaria over the past 2 years. Many operations have taken place to disarm all kinds of factions, whether they be related to Hamas or whether they be related to other factions, but to disarm them, weapons manufacturing facilities, terror cells in the West, in the Judean Samarian area, which the IDF has managed to achieve under the cover of the war in Gaza. And I don't think that the IDF are going to allow that to change. But of course, the details of the deal will eventually become more public, and we will all be wiser once we know a little bit more information.
Anthony Reich, thank you for chatting to me this afternoon. Enjoy the relief. I'm sure after 2 years, you don't even know what to do with the kind of feelings you are feeling this afternoon. But thanks for sharing with us.